Welcome to the program, God and Country. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Let me begin today with a portion of Scripture. The godly person has perished from the land, and there is no upright person among men. All of them lie in wait for bloodshed. Each of them hunts the other with a net. Concerning evil, both hands do it well. The prince asks, and also the judge, for a bribe. And a great man speaks a desire of his soul. So they weave it together. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright like a thorn hedge. Micah chapter 7, verses 2 through 3. Before God's judgment fell upon ancient Israel, the prophets pointed out that every group, every institution, was corrupt. So there was no hope for correction from within. The only solution was judgment from without. Oh, some people were relatively better than others, but that was simply like the adulterer being better than the pedophile, or the thief being better than the murderer. As Micah says, the best of them is like a briar, the most upright like a thorn hedge. What do we do in America when every institution becomes corrupt? Not only the state, but the schools, the families, the church, not only Congress, but also the Senate, the administrative branch, the courts. What happens when all political parties go bad? In ancient Israel, Jeremiah points out that all institutions became rotten from within. Jeremiah 6:13, "For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely." Well, these texts are just a segue to get us to think about today's topic, moral apostasy within the Republican Party. Now, last week I spoke about the intrinsic philosophical differences between the Republicans and the Democrats. And I would like to follow up that program with some discussion about the defections within the Republican Party. And although the Republican Party is supposed to be the biblically principled party, in practice, it is populated with many unprincipled people, even though the party platform is still biblically conservative. But because of many wolves in sheep's clothing, there is a growing movement within the Republican Party to throw off the conservative stand on social issues. So the only thing the Republican Party will stand for is economic conservatism. Now, what I mean by social issues are those moral behavioral issues: abortion, homosexuality, euthanasia, legalized drugs, prostitution. There was an article in this month's National Review which explained how gay right groups are working in the Republican Party to take opposition to gay marriage out of the GOP platform. And this is part of the homosexual agenda to infiltrate every institution. I was recently at a lecture by a prominent political consultant, campaign strategist for the Republican Party, senior advisor for McCain for president, and he was lecturing on why the Republican Party should drop their stand on the conservative social issues. Let me sum up some of his prevailing arguments. First, the polling shows opposition to gay marriage puts the Republicans out of step with the majority opinion. And opposition to gay marriage will someday become politically unsustainable. And if we don't accept homosexual marriage, we will be consigned to being the minority party. It used to be that there was some benefit to be gained to being against gay marriage. The majority was on your side, but now it will hurt you. So 20 years ago, all Republicans would take a public position against homosexual marriage. But then about 10 years ago, it was more politically expedient to refuse to talk about it. But now the political benefit is to be for it. And this advisor went on to say that the Republican Party is going to lose the young people if it doesn't support homosexual marriage. In 1996, only 41% of 18 to 29-year-olds supported same-sex marriage. In 2014, 78% of 18 to 29-year-olds support same-sex marriage. And it looks like if you're going to win over the young people, you have to be for gay marriage. And then this advisor went on to say that the Republican Party is the party of freedom and limited government. And that should include freedom to marry. And people should fundamentally have the right to marry the person that they love. And the Republican Party believes that the government should not intrude into people's personal lives, like in the case of healthcare. So we should allow people to marry whoever they wish. And this is a civil rights issue, like slavery in 1860 and civil rights in the 1960s. Now, notice the philosophical underpinnings of this consultant. Right and wrong are determined by voting and polling. Morals are determined by the norms of society rather than by the historic Republican belief that law originates from God. All these arguments for dropping opposition to homosexual marriage sound reasonable to those who base right and wrong on how people poll. But basing law on what is socially acceptable has always been the path to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because if there's no higher external standard, then the lowest common denominator always wins. Worse and worse behavior in society becomes legitimized when morals are determined by what people do. And it is not wise for people to judge themselves by themselves rather than judging themselves by the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:12. But our culture has abandoned God and hence his moral authority. So let me give you a list of why the Republican Party, or any party for that matter, should hold firm to the social issues. Number one, simply because God said so. Now, yes, God tells us that breaking his law results in personal loss. Transgressors and sinners will be crushed together, and those who forsake the Lord will come to an end. But I hesitate to even bring up the negative consequences of sin, because Americans need to first start thinking of obeying God because he's God. There is too much determining of right and wrong based upon how it benefits me. So before giving any pragmatic reasons why we should obey the law of God, let's affirm that the foundational motive needs to be the authority of God, regardless of personal blessing. But since even in the scriptures, the prophets of old would mention the blessing that comes from keeping God's law, let me then give a second reason why the Republican Party should hold firm on the social issues. This is kind of a philosophical reason, but it is true that once a party embraces immoral social law, it will embrace immoral economic law, communism. You can't have the one without the other. And practically, one can see this in Republicans who are pro-abortion and pro-gay marriage. They also happen to be the Republicans who are also very liberal on economic issues. Why is there a connection? Because the same moral foundation that leads a people to choose pro-life and pro-traditional marriage is the same foundation undergirding economic conservatism. Property rights, hard work, the entire Christian concept of reward and accountability for our labors. And if one doesn't understand God's law concerning thou shalt not kill, one will not understand God's law concerning thou shalt not steal. There is both social moral law and social economic law in the Ten Commandments. And if you have no regard for the one, you'll have very little regard for the other because you'll be operating on the principles of human pragmatism, human expediency, and self-serving gain. Now, let me give you a third reason why the Republican Party shouldn't drop the social issues. And it's this: the party that stands with God's moral law will survive and will win in the end. Psalm 37:10. Yet in a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. You will look carefully for his place and he will not be found. What we see in Scripture is that when one follows God's law, in the short term, there are always losses, but in the long term, you win if you just hold to your principles. And we saw this in the Republican Party before the Civil War. The Democratic Party believed slavery should continue on the basis of the popular vote. More of the people and more of the states wanted slavery. And the Democrats said that the majority should rule. The courts of the land, the Supreme Court, was in favor of slavery. The Dred Scott case settled the issue that a slave is property. In the 1850s, being against slavery was political suicide. And people were saying that a party will never win with an anti-slavery platform. The press called Abraham Lincoln a dead dog walking to his political grave for his opposition to slavery. And they said about Stephen Douglas and the Democratic Party that their pro-slavery arguments were logical and powerful. But nevertheless, the Republican Party was formed on the biblical prohibition against slavery. And after 20 years, the party won and marginalized the Democratic Party for the next 75 years. God's truth always wins in the long term, no matter what the political landscape looks like. In 1976, leaders within the Republican Party wanted to go pro-abortion. This was the popular trend in the country. All the statistics showed that the young people were pro-abortion. And certain old-time Republican leaders were saying that the Republicans will never win another election if they don't become like Democrats and take the pro-abortion stance. And they were saying pro-abortion is Republican. Let's keep the government out of the bedroom. This is a freedom issue. And they were saying that the Republican Party needs to be a big tent and we shouldn't alienate people with a pro-life stance. But there were enough biblically principled people in the Republican Party to establish a pro-life platform. And all of the liberal Republicans were proved wrong. Rather than destroying the party, the pro-life position saved the party. A huge number of conservative Democrats left the Democratic Party and became Republicans. And the entire South shifted from electing Democrats to electing Republicans. And I believe the same is true in regard to the same-sex marriage issue. In the short term, it may look like opposition to gay marriage will hurt the party. But I have confidence from the authority of the Word of God that in the long term, it will help the party. You know what I like about political commentary is that it often illustrates biblical principles. Time and time again throughout Scripture, whenever someone chooses to obey God, there are always short-term losses, fear of losing friends, losing a job. And by this, God tests whether people are choosing to do what is right out of personal benefit or out of love for God. But in the long term, the person who chooses God's law will find blessing. And the person who promotes policies that violate God's law will bring a curse down upon their head and their family and their institution. The people who violate God's law go down in the history books as the Darth Vaders of the world. Isaiah 65, because you did evil in my sight, you will leave your name for a curse to my chosen ones. You see, moral compromisers never win. They only make matters worse for themselves and others in the near future. Now, let me explain practically how holding on to the social issues will save and help the Republican Party. In a recent study by the Brookings Institute, not known for being conservative, they found that social conservatives make up the larger part of conservatism than economic conservatives. Conservatives need social conservatives in order to win. And they also need social conservatives in order to make new converts. 19% of Democrats describe themselves as conservative on the social issues. So that Republicans staying conservative on the social issues is a great bridge to the Democrats. And in my own personal conversations, that's exactly what I found. There is a large percentage of people who are oblivious to the issues, but vote Democrat out of tradition. But once informed, they quickly switch parties. The Democrats think that by bringing illegals from the South, they will increase Democrat voters. But give me 10 minutes with a Hispanic family, and I will have them voting Republican just on the social issues. Most people do not understand economic issues, but most people know that the party that supports the killing of babies is the wrong party. And Hispanic support is very flexible. Just last year, President Obama's approval with Hispanics was 67%. This year, it dropped to 41%. And the more these groups know about who stands for what, the more they lean to the right. And I've also found that the number one reason why black churches vote Democrat is not because they have a deep understanding of the issues, but because the Democratic politicians show up to speak in their churches to get the votes. The Republicans don't show up. And the only way to win black churches back into the Republican Party, as they were years ago, is to show the Democrats' ungodly stance on the social issues. So that if the Republican Party gives up the social issues, thinking to win more people into the party, it's not as if 10% of the Democrats and the independents are going to switch over to the Republican Party. Why should they? Because for the most part, the Republicans have just become like the Democrats. So why switch? And if the Republican Party gives up on the social issues, they can forget any hopes of reaching the immigrant population into the party. By dropping the social issues, what the party will get is 25 to 30% less people showing up to vote Republican. Value voters will say, why vote for Republicans if the party is just as liberal as the Democrats on the issues of abortion and gay marriage? And evangelicals will begin to leave the party en masse. Evangelicals are already disenchanted with many of the liberal leaders infiltrating the Republican Party. The only reason evangelicals are staying in the party at all is because the platform is still true to Christian moral values. I was recently at an event where one of the speakers was T.W. Shannon. He is a black Republican of the Oklahoma House of Representatives. And he said, "We are gaining many minorities into the Republican Party, and this worries the Democrats." And the reason for the gain is by staying true to God's moral law. If I were a Democrat and I wanted to destroy the Republican Party, I would try to convince the Republican leadership to drop the social issues. And I think that many of the articles written for Republicans to give up the social issues are planted there by Democrats. Because the research shows that the social issues is what's causing people to leave the Democratic Party. And if the Democrats can say that the Republicans are just as much for abortion and gay marriage as the Democrats, the Republicans lose their moral authority and their evangelical base. Here is an example. In the recent governor race for Virginia, the Republican conservative Ken Cuccinelli lost to Terry McAuliffe, the longtime Democratic operative. Maggie Gallagher with the Americans Principles Project writes the following about the election in the Washington Post. "The one lesson Republicans probably will not learn from Ken Cuccinelli's troubled campaign for Virginia governor is the most important. Politically, the truce strategy on abortion fails. If it's not abandoned, it will drag down the GOP. Republican candidates pledge not to run ads on topics such as abortion. When social subjects arise, GOP candidates go mute, retreat, and change the subject. Recall the July 19th debate between Cuccinelli, a Republican, and his Democratic opponent, Terry McAuliffe. Debate moderator Judy Woodruff asked Cuccinelli whether he would push for tougher laws on abortion. The state attorney general responded, 'I don't expect to use the political capital of the governor's office to be moving those pieces of legislation. My focus is on job creation and job growth. Translation, he doesn't want to appear to care about the issue enough to govern on it. Now, I would agree with Maggie Gallagher that the strategy to be middle of the road on social issues in order to win voters will continue to help the Republicans lose elections. Because people need to be stirred morally to go out to vote. It's the moral causes that inspire not only the base, but new voters. Republicans need to be evangelists for God's moral law. That is the way you educate the voters, and that's the way you win voters. And even if you lose by speaking up, you probably would have lost anyway. I was at another political event recently where I engaged in a conversation with a Republican county chairperson. And this person went on and on about how Republicans need to accept abortion and gay marriage if we're ever going to grow the party and win elections. And I sensed that she was very unhappy with my facts and figures that told the opposite story. The only chance Republicans have to keep the base in the party and to win the new immigrants is to stay firm on the social issues. But she still didn't agree, because she didn't want to view the world in that way. And then I realized that for her and for many others, it was really not a matter of what works or what will build the party, but what she personally believed. She didn't want to drop the social issues for pragmatic party growth reasons, but she personally believed in abortion and gay marriage. And that's where many liberal Republicans are at. They have the wrong foundation for morals, and they say we ought to liberalize for pragmatic saving the party reasons, but don't be deceived. It is really about their own immoral stance. Because if you really believe God's moral standards, it's not possible to abandon them when they become inconvenient. And that's how you can always tell who is real and who is fake. Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." That is biblical God-honoring conviction. And it doesn't matter if the majority throws the Republican Party into the furnace or onto the scrap heap of dead political parties. We will stand on the principles of God's law over personal short-term gain. And that is what faith is all about. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of this world, for we are looking to God's reward. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. Connect with us at our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again or other past programs. godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today, and thank you for supporting the sowing of biblical truth. Consider making God and Country a regular part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help your people identify and support the right people, the right institutions, the right groups that honor your holy standards of righteousness. For we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. Help us, O Lord, to stand in the evil day and having done everything to stand. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.